I just want to tell you that if you haven't been here this weekend, I'm sorry. You missed out on a lot of really, really good stuff. And I would just encourage you to mark next fall. I don't know the dates yet, but just make sure that next fall you have every intention on being part of this event, Family Camp. I think it's important for us as the church, capital C, to come together in moments like this and just agree together that God is doing something in us as individuals, in us as families, and in us as a body of Christ. And so I know that there's a lot of things going on and there's a lot of things in this world that bid for your time, but it's important for us to just say no to some of that stuff once in a while, to take time to celebrate who we are as the family of God. And so just as these opportunities present themselves throughout the year, and there's not very many, Iowa Yearly Meeting doesn't put on a ton of stuff like this, but when they do present themselves, take full advantage of that. This weekend, we had the opportunity and the privilege of hearing from Joseph May. He is the pastor at Light of the Lakes Friends Church in Arnold's Park, Iowa. And he shared a lot of teaching on what it means to live a godly life in terms of your family. How do we organize ourselves as a family in such a way that we are honoring to one another and to God? And all the things that he taught us are really important. Obviously, they all come from Scripture. And all of them are things that we should embody in order for us to live with God and for God, not only as individuals, but as families. But there's a but, and I think there's always a but when it comes to stuff like this. If we take the things that we heard this weekend, and I'll cover some of them briefly for those of you that weren't here, we'll talk about them in just a minute. But if we take these things, and we have our journals, and we wrote down all the stuff that Joseph said, and we're like, yeah, that's really good, and that's important, and I want to do that. And we take those things home, and we really force ourselves to fit into that mold, we're falling short of what God desires for us. Because God doesn't desire for us to set up just a paradigm of good living, as individuals or as families. God wants to have a relationship with us as individuals, with us as families, and with us as a church. So this morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew, if you have your Bibles with you. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, you're in church. Bring your Bibles with you. Bring your Bibles to church. That's important. Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read just a small piece of verse 25, and then I'm going to jump to verses 30 to 32. Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 25, he says, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand." Then he goes on in verse 30 to say, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the next." So let's start with this idea of a house divided. I think we can all understand that concept. It's pretty evident that if mom has one idea and dad has another idea, if husband has this concept of what it means to live a godly life and wife has this concept of what it means to live a godly life, and maybe kids have a completely different idea from what they've heard from their youth pastor or maybe what the kid at school's been telling them, if we all have this different idea, we are a house divided. And even if we all have the best intentions at heart, we're not going the same direction. And a house divided against itself will not stand. See, it doesn't mean, a house divided doesn't mean one's going good and one's going bad. We could all be going for good, but in different ways and at different times and in different models, and it's going to cause division. And a house divided cannot stand. Now, I'm not talking about maybe the husband is an Iowa fan and the wife's an Iowa State fan. Because, you know, you see those signs, a house divided. You know, I think that we can tolerate that, but when it comes to eternal matters, when it comes to the kind of family that God is calling us to be, and Joseph put some pretty hard questions that we have to ask ourselves on the table. Is God calling us to be a homeschool family? Or is God calling us to Christian school, to public school? How many kids is God calling us to have? Is God calling us to adopt? Is God calling us into ministry? If so, what kind of ministry? What if one spouse feels called to be a missionary and the other spouse doesn't? What if one spouse feels called to be a pastor and the other spouse doesn't? These are the kinds of things that can cause division in our families. And a house divided against itself will not stand. So Joseph gave us some practices to do last night. And those of you that weren't here, I would encourage you to take some time later to maybe do these things. The first thing he said was pray for God to show you some of the things that you're doing in your life that keep you from seeking out his will as a family. What are some of those things? Just take some opportunity, maybe later today even, as a family to pray over that. What is it? What are some things that are happening in our lives as husband and wife, as parents and children, that are keeping us from fully seeking what God desires for us? And then he said, now think and pray about some things that you're not doing, that you could be doing. What are some things that you can do as a family that will better point you in the right direction, that will adjust your compass, so to speak, so that you're all pointing the same direction, so that you're not a house divided, so that you're actually pointing to the same goal? And then he said, now pray for God to give you a scripture, a verse, a text, something that you as a family can own and embody over the next year. This is your family verse. Prayerfully seek God's word. What is it in his book, in his word, that you can, as a family, own over the next year? And the reason that he had us do these things is because it's very clear that a house divided cannot stand. And so if we're all a team, if we're all pointing at the same goal, at the same target, at the same purpose, vision, we're strong, we're united. Joseph laid out what it means to be what the God-ordained order of a family is. And I'm just going to cover it really briefly because he did a beautiful job of it over about 30 to 40 minutes, and I'm going to do it in about 2 minutes. So bear with me. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, and respect your husbands. Husbands, you're the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So love her just as Christ loved the church, which is sacrificially. Not giving orders, not overpowering her and overbearing her, but loving her sacrificially, putting her needs in front of your needs, being willing to sacrifice what you want in order to provide what she needs. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. You kids listening? This is the God-ordained order of families. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. And fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. These are all part of the God-ordained order for the family. And when we are fulfilling these roles, when we embody these roles, when the husbands take the spiritual head of the household, when you take the spiritual vitality and health of your family seriously, this is my job, this is my responsibility. And wives, when you allow your husband to take that position, when you say, you are the spiritual head of the household, I will follow your lead. And children, when you choose to obey your parents, and parents, when you choose to bring your children up the way that Scripture tells us to, when all of these things are clicking, we are fulfilling the God-ordained order of the family. And then we are not a house divided. We are a united front. We are a team. We represent Jesus in the world, not only as individuals, but now we can represent him as a family. The body of Christ doesn't just speak to our local meetings. The body of Christ can also speak to our family. Each person in our family is uniquely gifted. And if we train up our children and our spouses in these gifts and then release them to minister out of their gifts and abilities and passions, we can have a glimpse of the body of Christ even as a family. But Jesus moves on from there. He gives us a warning. He says, whoever's not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks a word against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the next. That's a hard text. A lot of us don't even know what that means. What does blasphemy against the Holy Spirit mean? I think most of us understand the idea of blasphemy as speaking out negatively against God, saying something that's not true of God, blaming God for things that are not God's fault. All of these things fall into the idea of blasphemy, saying untrue things of God. But another definition of blasphemy that you may not be as familiar with is for us to claim the attributes of a deity. Did you know that that's blasphemy? And so what are the attributes of the Holy Spirit? Convictor? Encourager? Teacher? When we take on the responsibility of the Holy Spirit and pretend like it's our call and not His call, we are committing blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I want to make it very clear to you today what this is so that you can avoid it. Because this is the only unforgivable sin according to Scripture. And there's a reason that it's an unforgivable sin. It's because when we're doing it, we're not really living for the Lord. We're giving ourselves this illusion. We're putting off this air about us into the world. But in reality, there's no internal change happening. It's all a facade. We're doing a really good job of putting up this front that we've got it all together and that we understand what God wants. And maybe we understand it up here. But it hasn't made that journey to here. In our lives, the Holy Spirit is the transforming power, not us. When we invite Him, and we have to invite Him, He comes inside of us, and He begins to do a work in us that we can't muster up in our own power. All of the stuff that Joseph talked about and all of the stuff that I just covered briefly in my quick account of what he said, none of that stuff is possible on our own. We can't go to lunch today and sit with our husbands and wives and say, all these things, we're going to do this stuff now. That's not how it works. Because it might look really good, but the internal change isn't going to happen. What you have to do as a husband and a wife, as a family unit, as a father and mother and children, you have to come together and say, all right, step one, let's wait for the Holy Spirit to speak. How can we embody the realities of the Scriptures that Joseph revealed this weekend? How can we take these on as a family? And then you wait, and you pray, and you seek. In terms of a family, to blaspheme the Spirit is to attempt to be the agent of change in your family. To attempt to call the shots. To attempt to make the plans. To set the course in your own power and with your own intentions, however good they might be. Another way to do this is to do the things that we know God wants us to do, but to attempt to do them on our own terms. Often this leads to doing things begrudgingly. Have you ever done anything begrudgingly? Is it very much fun? Does it really accomplish the goal of the exercise that you're doing if you're doing it begrudgingly? Does it do you any good to wake up angry and force yourself to go to church and getting upset because you really wanted to sleep in? Is that really going to accomplish the goal of what God wanted to speak to you today? This is a rhetorical question. No answer required. Does it really do you any good to get into God's Word and read it to fulfill some cosmic expectation that He thinks you have to Him? Does it really do you any good to pray without faith because you think you're supposed to? When we do things begrudgingly, we miss the mark. We miss the purpose of what the thing was intended for. And the disciplines and the gifts that God gives us to connect with Him are just that. That's the goal, to connect with Him. And if you're doing all of these things and you're not connecting with God, you're missing the mark. It's not about going through the motions. It's not about fulfilling a cosmic expectation. It's about connecting with God, first as individuals, then at the family level, and then at the church level. And I'm not talking about your local meetings. I'm talking about the church universal. God's gathered people. Let me say it like this. This is a quote from Benedict of Nursia. He says, "Indeed, obedience must be given with genuine goodwill because God loves a cheerful giver. If obedience is given with a bad will and with murmuring, not only in words but even in bitterness of heart, then even though the command may be externally fulfilled, it will not be accepted by God. For he can see the resistance in the heart of a murmurer. One who behaves in such a way not only fails to receive the reward of grace, but actually incurs the punishment deserved by murmurers. Only repentance and reparation can save such a one from this punishment." It's not just enough to look like a godly family. It's not just enough to look like a Christian. It's not just enough to show up. It's not just enough to wear the Christian t-shirt, to carry the big Bible, to have the Bible verse tattooed on your arm. It's not just enough to do those things. Real and lasting change has to start inside. It starts with a relationship. Relationship between you and God, and then between your family and God. I want to show you what I mean with a little exercise, a little illustration that I put together for you. You'll see. This is Billy. Billy doesn't go to church, doesn't really believe in God, and doesn't really hide it. He thinks all of this Christian stuff is just a bunch of mumbo jumbo, and as long as he's a good person, he'll get what's coming to him and everything will be fine. Then Billy faces punishment, and that's not supposed to happen. Where'd my fire go? Let's try this again. I think I put it too close to the fire. There we go. Now this is Tommy. Tommy goes to church every Sunday. Tommy reads his Bible. Tommy reads devotional books. Tommy prays before his meals. Sends his kids to youth group. And he even does the occasional family devotional. So we're going to soak Tommy in some water because Tommy does a really good job of immersing himself in Christianity. So he's covered in water. He thinks he's doing a really good job. But, you know, he really has never fully given his will to God, and he kind of does things on his own terms. So he's feeling pretty secure. And then the day of judgment comes. So it wasn't enough for Tommy to put on the Christian suit, so to speak. It wasn't enough to go through the motions. This is Freddie. Freddie loves the Lord. Freddie learned a long time ago that in order to receive the abundant life that Jesus promises him, that it's not about getting his way, but it's about dying to himself and following God's will. And the difference between him and his buddy, see, they look the same on the outside, don't they? They're both the same size, they're both the same color, but the difference is Freddie's got something inside of him. Freddie's moved himself out of the way and invited the Holy Spirit to dwell within him. So when Freddie faces judgment, what happens? The Holy Spirit dwells in Freddie. So it's not the motions that Freddie went through on the outside, but it's the internal change that he went through that made all the difference. This is an important illustration because a lot of times, especially in the American church, we get told that our salvation is based on our performance. That if we want to be a Christian, we have to look a certain way. We have to talk a certain way. We have to dress a certain way. We have to be dignified. We have to fit the mold. And if we don't, we don't face the judgment of God. We face the judgment of the church. How fair is that? See, it's not God that set the bar for external transformation. It was us. It was us. The church is supposed to be the community that draws people in and invites them into the life-changing, everlasting hope that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And instead, we've become the stumbling block. We've set the bar higher than Christ himself set it. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But the church says, do this, 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 and this if you want to be a Christian. Quit cussing, quit smoking, dress nicer, shower more often, cut your hair, brush your teeth, get your tattoos removed. Where's that in Scripture? In Scripture it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So where did we go wrong? I'm convinced that it's time to get back to basics. I'm convinced that it's time to stop making the life of a disciple so complicated, because it really isn't that complicated. Now, I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm saying it's not complicated. Because it's rather simple. You say no to anything that's not God, and you say yes to God. That's it. No to anything that's not God, and yes to God. You want a strong family? You want a godly family? Say no to anything that's not God and say yes to God. You want a strong walk with the Lord? Say no to anything that's not God and say yes to God. You get it? You think they get it? What does that look like? What does that look like? It looks like waking up every morning and saying, these are the things that I'd like to do today. But God, here's my schedule. Do with it what you want. The Bears are playing today. I'm planning to watch that for 3 hours. There's a new restaurant that opened up. I'd like to go eat there. Then there's a made-for-television movie on tonight that looks really good. And, you know, it's about Christians. So that's just like going to church. And I listened to K-Love on my way to work this morning, so I had my worship time. No. God, what would you have me do today? Who's the Lord of your life? Because if you say that Jesus is the Lord of your life, and you're living in such a way that you or something else is the Lord of your life, guess what you're doing? Blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. That's as simple as I can make it for you. It's not about what you say. It's not about what you do. It's about who is Lord of your life. So say no to anything that's not God, and say yes to God. Amen? Let's pray. My daughter knows the spiel. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is God, that desires more than anything to dwell within us, to change us, to transform us, to be Lord in our life, to call the shots. But I'm so impacted by the quote that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman that doesn't force himself on anyone. You have to be invited in. You have to be given that place in our life. So, Lord, I pray that we don't just say that you have that place in our life and live like you don't, but that we truly submit to you. The daily journey of saying yes to you. Step by step, hour by hour, moment by moment. In our lives, that would spill into the lives of our families, that would spill into the life of the church, that would embody the church that you intended. Help us not to raise the bar above where you set it, but to simply love you and love people. Lord, continue to move in your church. Continue to move in Iowa Yearly Meeting. Help us to be the part of the body that you call us to be. And all praise and glory and honor go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.